Yeah, the person starts climbing, then you should eat a little thing before the mikvah.
Mm-hmm. Did Rabbi see the sign they put on the wall?
Didn't see the sign.
Says remember that Pasuk in Nezek on Purim. So, uh-huh. So punch here.
Okay. Good. Who says he punch in Nezek on Purim? What's the mocker?
I know.
In the Gemara we go.
Tosis in Sukkah. It says, used to steal the lulav and yesrik from the little one. So Tosis says that since you do it for simcha on Sukkah, so there's no isa gezel. So Tosis says, well, then I'm not mechuyev to pay. Okay, maybe we'll go through some of the dinim of Purim.
I don't think it's on.
Not on? Not on.
I don't think so. Is it on?
I don't know.
It's the green thing not plugged in.
Oh, the green thing's not plugged in. Donnie. Okay. See what happens when you let rookies do these things.
Tainus says there's a big moikis in Mechaber and Ramah. Is it more chomer than the other Tanaisim or less chomer? The Mechaber writes, not in Hilchas Purim, he writes in Hilchas Tainus. There's a simon before Hilchas Tisha B'Av. What are the differences between Tisha B'Av and Shal Tainusim? So one of the differences is that Yom Kippur, Tisha B'Av, and Tainus Esther are three Tainusim. There's no need for Kabbalah in advance. Yom Kippur, Yom Muchiv, Tefes, Ben HaTorah. Tisha B'Av, Yom Muchiv, Tefes, Ben HaRabbanan. Tainus Esther, Yom Muchiv, Tefes, Ben Taminik. And Mechaber holds the other Tainusim, Asur V'Tevis, and Gadal, Yishavasa, B'Tam. The other three is really Ratzim, Misanim, Ratzim, Misanim. The Gemara says it's optional. And the Bahag writes that Mizban Azeh, we assume so what that means is that the minig is that the chazan says the mishaberach on the Shabbos before Shabbos B'Tamuz, the Shabbos before Tzom Gedalia and so on, just like the chazan says the mishaberach the Shabbos before Bahab. The Baal Yatosis had a minig that after Pesach and after Sukkot, because we celebrate for a whole week, so we're afraid maybe we sin from eating and drinking and making merry like that. The Gemara says that Eov, the Pasuk said that Eov used to bring karbonos, I think, after the family had a get-together. He was afraid maybe the children sinned. So the Baal HaTosis introduced such a meaning that the Shavuos is only 1 or 2 days, so there isn't enough time to sin. But on Pesach and Sukkot, so all week long, so maybe people sin. So they developed a meaning that you fast on Sheni Machamish and Visheni after. Today, hardly anybody fasts, but years ago, there was a common practice. So they used to say Mishaberach and Shul on the Shabbos before. They still say Mishaberach and Shul on Shabbos before, and Mishaberach for those who fast. So everybody says Amen. So the people who don't plan to fast say Amen, a blessing on the head of those people who will fast. The people who do plan to fast say Amen, with the Kabbalah Tainus. Amen is Kabbalah Satainus. So the Mechaber writes that from the Rishonim, that was the practice in Svarad. They would say that Mishaberach, the Shabbos before Shavuos B'Tamuz, Shabbos before Tzom Gedalia, and Shabbos before Asar B'Tevis. That Kvar Shaviyu Alayachayva means that the meaning is that the Tzibur is Mekabalit on the Shabbos before when you say the Mishaberach like Bahab. But you're not Mechuyiv automatically. The only three you're Mechuyiv automatically are Yom Kippur, you're Mechuyiv Ben HaTorah, Tisha B'Av, you're Mechuyiv Tefes Ben Rabbanan, and Tainus Esther, you're Mechuyiv Tefes Ben Taminik, you're Mechuyiv Tefes. There are more rites, Punkt Vakir, there are more rites, and Tainus Esther is more kal than the other Tanesim. It's not more chomer, it's more kal. And in order to be permitted to eat, in order to be permitted to break your fast on Yom Kippur, you have to be a chayla sheyesh b'sakon, a safek sakon. Safek sakon is derech kol tarkula. In order to be permitted to eat on Tisha B'Av or any other tainus that's only midrabbanan. So the Gemara says a chayla sheyesh b'sakon is permitted to eat. Whenever it's a tainus derabbanan, a chayla sheyesh b'sakon is permitted to eat. Somebody published notes from Rav Soloveitchik's shiurim that he gave on Inyani Tisha B'Av. So maybe Rav Soloveitchik said it, but it's a mistake. They shouldn't have printed it. It says Beferish in Shulchan Aruch that a chayla sheyesh b'sakon is permitted to eat on Tisha B'Av. I'm sure Rav Soloveitchik paskan like that also. He was giving a shiur, so maybe he got carried away with himself. So somebody just printed all the notes that he said. When you print notes from our shiurim, leave out the things that I said that are mistakes. I'll make sure that you don't name mistakes in my name. Okay? So in order to be permitted to eat on a tainus that's only the Rabbanon, like Tisha B'Av, Tzom Gedalia, Sar B'Teves, Chodesh Emes HaKana is already permitted to eat. There's a difference. What's the definition of a Chodesh Emes HaKana? So usually on Tisha B'Av, Chodesh Emes HaKana means a person that cannot function normally because of the tonus. What about Moberis and Menika? So it depends. Sometimes today the women take all kinds of pills, prenatal pills and postnatal pills. So they're healthier than the men, they're healthier than the husbands are when they have a baby. So on Tisha B'Av, you have to judge each and every person individually. Is the person of Chodesh Emes HaKana or not? On Shaar Taneisim, on Asar B'Teves, on Gedal Shavas B'Tamuz, we automatically declare that every Moberes and Menika is a Chodesh Emes HaKana, even though it doesn't necessarily correspond to reality. There are more rites of Minig that a Moberes and Menika fasts on the other Taneisim. On Tisha B'Av, the Gemara says a Mechuyif to fast. On the other Taneisim, if it's not too difficult, the Moberes and Menika should fast. And Rav Soloveitchik and many others have tightness against the Ramah. It doesn't make any sense. Why? If indeed in the Gemara, Moberes and Menika is automatically treated as a Chodesh Emes HaKana. So what are you gaining by fasting? But the Ramah says that on Tainus Esther is more kal than the other Taneisim. Not like the Mechaber that it's more chomer, that you don't need Kabbalah. That Yom Kippur, Tisha B'Av, and Tainus Esther, you don't need Kabbalah. You only need Kabbalah, the Shabbos before, and the other Taneis. And the Ramah says that Taneis Esther is more kal, that the person doesn't even have to be a b'china of a Chodesh Emes HaKana. Chodesh Emes HaKana means that he's not able to function normally. If a chol kol gufa mutol mishkav, that's a person has such a splitting headache that he slowed down, everything he does is slowed down. So that's called a Chodesh Emes HaKana. But if he has a mild headache, it's annoying, but he can function. He functions normally. People have mild headaches and they go to work and they function well. So on Tainus Esther with Mekel, if he has a choli, he has ke'ebi enayim, if he has anything more than what he would normally have from fasting on Tainus. So we, the Ashkenazim, follow the Ramah, that Tainus Esther is more kal than the other Tainus. Today is neither Monday nor Thursday. Monday or Thursday you give a kriyas hatorah, you give three aliyas. If a tainus falls out on a day other than Monday or Thursday, so the Gemara has a machlokes hatanaim, how many aliyahs do you give? So we know we gave three aliyahs this morning. That's how we paskin. The Gemara quotes a braisa, there's an opinion of a tana, Rav Yossi. He's of the opinion that you only give one aliyah. Why one aliyah? So Rav Soloveitchik explained, because the ikar and the tainus sibur is really the kriyas haftarah. Because the ikar and the tainus sibur, the neviim give tochacha and musa. So the ikar of a tainus sibur, that people should hear musa and they should be chayzer b'tshuva. So you really want a lane from the novi. But we have a klal in the Gemara, Hamafta benovi tzorach shikar batoyla tchilona. Tzorach shikar batoyla batoyla tchilona mipnei kovet atoyra. You shouldn't just read haftoyra. You shouldn't have kriyas atoyra on Shabbos seven aliyahs. Then Mafta should say the haftoyra from the novi, as if they lane for the Torah and he lanes for the novi, an equal level of significance. Hamafta benovi tzorach shikar batoyla tchilona. You have to lane from the Chumash verse. So that's why one Tana says the yikar kriyas atoyra. The Iker Kriya on the Tainus Sibur is really the Haftarah, which says the Musa and the Tachacha, but you can't just lay in Haftarah, you have to Tzach Shikah B'Torah Tchilah, so you give one Aliyah and that's sufficient. So we don't pass like that. We scan that you have to have three Aliyahs. The Minig used to be, Rabbi Kivega records, the Minig used to be that by Mincha and the Tainus Sibur, when they would lay in Kriya Satorah, so after the Kriya Satorah, after Shlishi, the Balkori would say the Chatzi Kaddush. And then the one who got the third aliyah would say the haftarah. So Rabbi Kivega did away with that minig. He writes, so Rabbi Kivega did away with the minig. He said it's against the halacha because the Magen Avraham is medayek from the word tchila. Amafta banavit tzarech shikr b'atorah tchila, that you should lane from the Torah b'li hafsoka. That's why it's not correct. And so the Magen Avraham says it about saying the chatzi kaddush has the following case. Let's say you lane kriyas haTorah, you find a mistake in the middle of chamishi. So you finish the aliyah, if you can stop right there, you say stop wherever you can stop, and then you take on the other sefer Torah and you start from shishi. What happens if you found a mistake in the last aliyah and you finish the whole kriyas haTorah with the first sefer Torah? Find a mistake on the last pasuk. So the Magen Avraham says that it's not right to take out another sefer Torah just in order to say the maftir from the second sefer Torah. since there's a machlokes in the Gemara, we pass kamikar adin mafter zayla the minyan akruim. That the one who got shvi can serve as mafter. So we, the Rabbi Natan Tosfos says that we have the practice. We want to be choshish for their opinion in the Gemara that was not accepted. Machlokes samarayim. There was one opinion of mafter ben avi. Mafter is not oyla the minyan akruim. Has to be a separate other. But we really pass mafter is oyla the haraya from a tiny tzibur. So the Magen Avraham says that since Mikra Din Maftar Rezoila, and you already finished the whole Shvi, you finished the whole Kriya Sator with the seventh Aliyah, so you shouldn't take out a second Sefer Torah, put back a Sefer Torah, take out another Sefer Torah, just in order to be choshish for the opinion that's not accepted, that Maftar is not oil of the minyan akruim. So just leave it the way it is and let the Shvi be considered the Maftar. And whether paid $1,000 for mafter will not get mafter. The shvi will get the mafter. In such a case, you should not say the chatzi kaddish. We once had it in yeshiva. Once had this case, Maisa Shaya, that they found a mistake. I forgot which parasha it was. They found a mistake on the last pasuk, and the kriya satara said they finished shvi. So then the Magen Avraham din applies in such a case. The shvi is mafter, and you shouldn't say the chatzi kaddish. That's why it's not right now. In some shuls, they started a new practice that in between the maftir and the haftira, they say the tefillah of the shlom amdin, and they say mishaber for the cholim. That's not the time to say in between the maftir and haftira. Want to do it before you give maftir. Do it in the middle of kriyas haftira or something. But that's the Magen Avraham's club. That since the Gemara's lashon is tefillah hamafter benori, so achshik b'atorah tefillah should be hefsek. It's a problem on Tisha B'Av. We give three aliyahs to Mincha, and then the minig is that you say Chatzi Kaddish, and then the one who got Shlishi says the Haftarah. So that's a question. Why don't we follow Rabbi Gevega's correction? Rabbi Gevega corrected the practice on every time the Sibat in Mincha, so why don't we do the same thing on Tisha? So that's a question. Rabbi Soloveitchik suggested different mahalachim, why? But that's a problem. In the Gemara, it says that on a tiny sibur you lain by chal to mincha and you lain haftar. It doesn't say that there's a kriyas haftar in the morning at all, unless it's sheni b'chamishi. Today is not sheni b'chamishi. Today is Wednesday. So that's the question: where did it come from? So the Bi'ur Agro writes in Shulchan Aruch that this is a minhag ha'goyim that they introduced the lain by chal in the morning also, but the Medina the Gemara you only have by chal to mincha on a tiny sibur. The meaning is that we say along with the Baal Korah when it gets to Ve'av Hashem upon the Vikra Hashem Hashem Kel Racham Lechanon, and this is really part of a bigger minig. We have the minig on Purim. The Rambam quotes from the Rishon, we have it from the Gaonim. The minig on Purim to say the four psukim of Geula along with the Chazan, Ma'atcha Yatzah Lefnei HaMelech, Hidah Ma'asoy Rebbe Simcha V'Sosam, and so on. And this is part of a bigger minig that on Tisha B'Av, when the Baal Korah lains Echa, so everybody says along with the Baal Korah Hashmeidim, Elach Shulach Hashmeidim, Kikedim. It's a big meaning all year long to say along with the Baal Korah, Psukim of Yeshua, Nechome, Geula, Slicha, Kapara. So it's really part of the same practice. The Kitzur Shulchan Aruch complains about a silly meaning that the Balabatim started when the Baal Korah reads Aseres Bani Haman, so he gives everybody a chance to recite Aseres Bani Haman along with the Baal Korah. Why is that one? That's not officially one of the psukim of Gul Yeshua Nechama Kapar Slicha Mechila. Has nothing to do with anything. So the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch thinks that it's a minik toy, it's a minik shtus. They quote from the Ragachover that he defended the minik. That the Gemara says you have to lay in Aseres Ben Yomar Menashim Achas. So fine, Shamer Kaine, when you listen to the Balkari, you're to the Mikra Megila, but the fact that he said it Menashim Achas doesn't count for us. So it's not considered as if we're Yaitzah B'Nishim Achaz. Everybody should say along that it should be B'Nishim Achaz. No. That's the suggestion from the Rakachover Goy. And then he explained also, maybe that's the reason why we have the practice that we write it in big letters. You have the Megillah, Aseres Bani Haman is only 11 lines, and the rest of the Megillah has 25 lines in a column. So here you write in big letters, a whole takes up a whole column. The Vilna Goy was unhappy about that practice. But that is, most people have a Megillah that has written like a big letter. So why do you write big letters? There's no Masar is supposed to write big letters. So the Ragachava quotes a Tosfos in Psachim and Avrei Psachim. Tosfos says, one of the brachas that you recite after the, when you get Maftir, one of the brachas they recite, how do you say the first bracha? Anem Arim? No. One of the brachas, Tosfos says, you don't, anybody have a siddur? I don't know, I don't remember. You don't say amen in the middle of bracha, you don't say amen when you end the bracha. So Tosfos says, Ne'aman atah Hashem alakenim, ne'amanim devarecha, is a new paragraph in big letters, ne'aman in big letters. It doesn't mean that before that is the end of a bracha, that's the middle of a bracha. So why did the printer put big letters on the word ne'aman? So Tosfos says, the big letters mean that everybody should chime in and say it along with the one that gets maftir. As it says in Masech HaSofim, that the meaning was that everybody said along, everybody says that. Then the one who has maftir says that also, and he says kikel melech neman rachmanata, and he says the end. But the meaning was that everybody said along, so that's why they print and put it in big letters. So the Ragat Shabbos said maybe that's the explanation why we put Aseres Menahamen in big letters, because the meaning is that everybody says it along with the Balkare. That's not the real reason. The real reason is because Mara said you got to have Aseres Menahamen, Aseres Barosh Adav, and the Aseres Menahamen, so you have 11 lines. What are you going to do? You're going to leave empty space. You're going to write one line here and five empty lines and one line there. So you write in big letters and you leave spaces, so you have instead of 25 lines on a normal column, you have only 11 lines over here, so you write it in big letters. It's not for such a lumpish reason. Anyway, most assume, like the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, that's a minik to say along Aseres Menahamen with the Malkur.
Is it minik to say the last Pasuk, is
that proper? The Ramah says the minik is that you say the last Pasuk also. The question is, there's a big discussion, the Kosher Glover Goyen has a tshuva in the third chelik of Eretz Tzvi, where he discusses an issue that's known as a machlokes Rav Chaim Soloveitchik and Rashi. Rav Chaim Soloveitchik had a chiddush, and then he pointed out, Rabbi Tzofrati pointed out, I remember, where he made, I think, a pinyan aben for his oldest boy. He pointed out that it's against the Rashi, and the Kosher Glover has a long discussion of this. Rav Chaim Soloveitchik had a chiddush. If a person has two esrogim, one is vaday kosher, but it's not so mehuder. And the other one is safek kosher, but it's very mehuder. So he's going to pick up both esrogim, zachazeh. So when he says the bracha on the tilos lulov, which one the esrogim should pick up first? Rav Chaim Soloveitchik said he better pick up the vaday mehuder, safek kosher first. Because he's going to pick up the vaday kosher, safek not so mehuder first. Then he's yotzei the mitzvah b'diavad, then he gains nothing by repeating the mitzvah a second time. Whenever there's a din that you should do a mitzvah b'shleimusa, l'chatchila, do it like this, but b'dievet yotze without, or do a mitzvah b'hidura, or b'shleimusa, whatever it is. So if you're ready yotze b'dievet, you're going to repeat the mitzvah a second time, you gain nothing by doing it over. That's what Rav Chaim said. So they point out that Rashi says b'feirish not so, because there's a din, you should always recite the birchas ha-mitzvah, oiver l'asiyasim, the Gemara doesn't say koidim, the Gemara says oiver. So oiver means the inclusion of oiver, the oiver. You shouldn't say the bracha way before. Mar says, Tfilim emasai mevarach aleim, when you say the bracha on the shal yad should be on your arm, and you should be about to tighten it. Then you say the bracha. You don't say the bracha as you're taking the tefillin out of the tefillin zekel before you put it on. That's called oiver the oiver. So here also, the way Rav Chaim is suggesting, you say a bracha, and then you first pick up the esrig that's sofik kosher, sofik posel, but vaday mehuder. Then you pick up afterwards the esrig that's vaday kosher, and not so mehuder. So maybe the first one was not kosher. Then you were mafzik in between the birchas ha-mitzvah and the vaday asiyas ha-mitzvah. So Rashi writes, not like Rav Chaim. So that's a big discussion that the Kosher Glover has. Is it possible to repeat a mitzvah a second time after I was ready yotze b'dieved by doing a shalom b'shleim uso, will I gain the lachatchila by repeating the mitzvah again? So here the din is in the Shulchan Aruch based on the Gemara. If you read right on Megillah mitoch haksav yotze b'dieved, lachatchila shouldn't do that. Lachatchila should learn kol on Megillah mitoch haksav. But b'dieved you yotze if you learn roiv. Mishnah Berurah says, what if you have the only Megillah you have is missing words here and there. And the Gemara says, b'dieved you yotze rubai. If rubai kukula is read mitoch haksav. So he has no choice. So the Mishnah Berurah says, okay, if that's the only Megillah you have, so Shasat Hakir Yevedami, so we permit you to do Lachatchila, but normally it's only acceptable B'dieved. But Lachatchila, she really learned the whole Megillah Mitoch Haksav. So that's the Shaila. So when it comes to the first three Psukim of Geula, Matchayat, Melechne Melech, Hayunim Asar, Rebbe Simcha, and so on, so you say it before the Balkorei, then so you weren't yet Yotze Mikra Megillah. So that pasuk I said Baal Peh. But even after finishing that pasuk, I haven't finished the mitzvah Mikra Megillah yet. So the Baal Kori leans it over, and then he gets to the end. So it comes out by the time you get to the mitzvah of Mikra Megillah, you have heard everything Mitzvah Haksa. Shad is on the last pasuk. If I'm going to say the last pasuk Baal Peh from a printed, if I have a kosher Megillah in front of me, so then I should say the pasuk. No problem. I have a siddur. If I have a chumash in front of me, I don't have a kosher Megillah in front of me, and I'm going to say the last pasuk Baal Peh from a printed chumash, then I'm yet to the Mikra Megillah b'di'evan. So that's the question. Will I gain anything if the Baal Kori will read it again mitoch haksav afterwards? So that's the pilpul that the kosher glover has, a big machlekes. So the Aderis suggested like that. Aderis was a big goin. And so he wrote in one of his many svarim that the last pasuk you should wait till the Baal Kori says it first, and then afterwards, while the Baal Kori is rolling up the Megillah, before he says Aravish Rivenu, so then you can say the pasuk along with him. Yeah.
The Rangachavas cut by Asaras of the Haman, is that related to the
Beis Halevi, Yeah, that's what they talk about. When you say Shemeh Kaina, do all the properties carry over? But he say, no, it's just Yotze Shemeh Kaina, but it's not considered the B'Nishim Achas and so on. That's a discussion. Yeah.
It might be, why do we say it first then?
What do we say?
Why do we do the B'Tiyevet? Why do we say it first, the last possible?
That there is not the taina. You shouldn't say it first. He said you should say it second. So let the Baal Kori say it first, and you say after him.
What is Rabbi Paskin?
I don't Paskin anything. The main goal is that everybody says it before, and they assume that you can be yotzei mitzvah la'tchila by doing mitzvah again a second time. Rabbi Shavais, a big Talmud Chacham in Eretz Yisrael, so he thinks not like Rav Chaim. He thinks that absolutely clear that you can't do a mitzvah a second time and be yotze lechatchila a second time. The Kosher Golovin Gaon writes a whole essay in the third chilek. Usually they print the aleph and beis together. I never saw the third chilek, but I saw it quoted. Third chilek of Eretz Tzvi.
With Rangachaver, would it help for the shomim to hold their breath while the Bakari is saying
I don't know, the whole topic is a little humorous. I don't know. I don't think so. The Kriya has to be B'Nishim Achas. I don't think it's going to help if you hold your breath. Yeah. We always have Tainus Esther the day before Purim. Yeah, what if Purim falls out on Sunday? So you don't fast on Shabbos. So we don't fast on Friday either, because the Gemara says in Tainus that Bezin, it's not right that because of Tainus on Friday, that's not quite Shabbos, that you're starving when Shabbos enters. It was even an opinion in the days of the Tanaim that when Tisha B'Av falls out on a Friday, by us it never falls out. There is one Tainus that falls out. Sorry, the Tainus can fall out on a Friday. But the days of the Tanaim, Tisha B'Av sometimes fell out on a Friday. So Rabbi Kiva is of the opinion that you have to break your fast before Shabbos, Kadesh Leikonis L'Shabbos Keshu'um Me'unah. The Gemara comes to the conclusion in Daf Mem, I think, that we don't pass like that. We paskin when the Tainus falls out by us, sorry, the Tavis falls out on a Friday. I remember because one of my children was born Friday night, Matsoya, sorry, the Tavis. So that's why I remember that. Sorry, the Tavis is the one, the Tainus that can fall out on a Friday. So we paskin Misana Mashal, that you have to fast. Misana Mashal means you wait till Tzeisat Kochab. I got stuck by someone. He was Mahmoud Seisa Krav 2.5 hours after the Shkir. My wife was in the hospital, and then I went to eat by someone who lives near the hospital. He was a big Mahmoud, so he didn't begin to say Kiddush till doomsday. That's not what it says in the Mahmoud. I said, Misan al Mashlim. Okay, finished till Seisa Krav. So that's a Shaila when Purim falls out on Sundays. You don't fast on Shabbat. So the meaning is you don't fast on Friday, so you observe Tainus Esther on Thursday. Rav Soloveitchik said that Rav Chaim's practice would be, he was a Levi, he would avoid getting an Aliyah when Tainus Esther was pushed up. When Purim falls out on Friday and Tainus Esther is on Thursday, okay, Tainus Esther on Thursday. But if Purim is on Sunday, so the Meiri quotes a Machlokes HaRishonim, is that really a violation? If it goes in Tainus B'shishi, B'shabbos, Kadesh L'Kanes, L'Shabbos, Kishu Munah, you were Goyza Tainus. Goyza Tainus means Bezdin decides because there's some kind of political issue, some kind of Muhammad going on, so they're Goyza Tainus. It should be Goyza Tainus on Friday. But this is set up that the day before Purim, And if it's Shabbos the day before Purim. So maybe over here, the Tana should have really been on Friday. It really shouldn't be on Thursday. Rav Chaim was afraid that maybe the correct day of the Tanis is really Friday, not Thursday. And there's no cause to lay in the Baichal on Thursday afternoon. Thursday morning, okay, you're laying in Kriyas HaTarvis, you're getting three aliyahs anyway. Well, either Parsha or Shavua. A Baichal doesn't make that much of a difference. But on a Thursday afternoon, to lay in Kriyas HaTarvis, I'd say them all. So he said, Rav Soldech, he said, Rav Chaim was choshish for that opinion in the Meiri, that the Tanis is really supposed to be on Friday, not on Thursday. And Shulchan Aruch it says, that let's say the Tanis is, Purim is on Sunday, and everybody's fasting Tanis Esther on Thursday, and there's a bris on Thursday, so everybody's eating by the bris. So those people who ate by the bris should fast on Friday. That's what it says in the Shulchan, they should fast on Friday. Because there's a machlekes when the Tanis Esther should be. When Purim falls out to be on a Sunday, should be on Thursday, should it be on Friday? Yeah?
I think Shulchan said that, like, even a Yachid shouldn't fast on Friday.
The what?
Even a yachid shouldn't fast on a Friday, like it's only a personal fast.
I mean, a personal fast, yeah.
Right, so then wouldn't it mean Stavar also that even though they didn't specifically, they weren't specifically stocking it on Friday, that should be the...
I think the Loshan and the Gemara is you're not, the Miri quotes, the Loshan and the Gemara is you don't make a time. A person shouldn't be Mekabal Tainus on Friday. Bezin shouldn't be goes to Tainus on Friday. But this is already a minig from Shanim Kadmanias, that soon before Purim, immediately before Purim, you fast. So if Purim is any other day, so the day before. And if Purim is on Sunday, so it can't be on Shabbos. So you fast on Friday. So it's not that we decided on our own to do this. This is a meaning, Shalom Karbaniyah. That's why others hold that it's not in violation of that din.
What was the problem with getting an aliyah on Thursday, though?
Thursday to Mincha.
Right.
And they're going to lane a second time by Chal, and they're going to have a Haftarah. So if the Tonis should really be tomorrow and not today, so there shouldn't be any Kriyas HaTorah to Mincha today. So maybe it's a Shadaf and a Brachal of
Atola. When a Beitin Stam is Gozer HaTanis, there's no Kriyas HaTorah Mincha?
When Bezdan is Gozer HaTanis, there is Kriyas HaTorah to Mincha, yeah.
Why not assume that Hanami is wrong, but that's what the Beitin decided to do this year, where the thing Gozer HaTanis on Thursday?
No, the Rishonim have a Machlekes. What is the, it's a Minig. So what is the Minig? Should you fast Tainis Esther on Thursday or Friday? So it's machlekes. What is the minhag? So somehow,
regardless of Tanya Esther, why wouldn't it just be misdaber to think that okay, it's not Tanya Esther, but they think it's Gozer Tanya anyway.
But nobody was Gozer Tanya. Half of the Rishonim are supposed to fast tomorrow, not today.
Are they the master of Tanya, or we have 10 people who decide to fast today? They come to shul together, they're fasting. You can take out a sefer Torah.
The Rishonim is they were never in the Kabbalah Tanis. We're not the Kabbalah. The Mechaber says you're not the Kabbalah 3, Yom Kippur and Tisha B'av and Tanya Esther. The Rama says we're not the Kabbalah any of them. Because we assume if you're mechuyev to fast either men atarim the rabbanim mitam minik, so you're mechuyev to fast. It has a kim up tanis. But if it's not clear what the minik is, and half of the rishonim hold the minik should be tomorrow, not today. So today is a mistake. So there's no chiyuv at all to fast today. So people are just volunteering a fast without having the mekabel and without being mechuyev. The mechuyev really tomorrow. So the shalas from brach levat tov. Nunu, Rav Chaim had all kinds of chumas. I remember here in Yeshiva for years, Rabbi Lichtenstein, Zechon Lebrach, always used to stand during Kriyas HaMegillah. And I didn't understand why he was standing. The Mishnah says, Beferish, that you can stand or you can sit. Kriyas HaTorah maybe is different. Kriyas HaTorah, they quote the Marmrit, Mergen Sistan, and stand. Kriyas HaMegillah, the Beferish and Mishnah. The Rambam just says, the Balkari who lanes Betzibur, at Akabar HaTzibur, the Balkari should stand. If he lanes to a group of less than a minion, so even the Balkari can sit. I didn't understand why he stood. Then I understand the boys bought me as a gift. They said, "Oitzer Agoinim." So I saw the Goinim have this chumrah. The Goinim have this chumrah to stand by God. I don't understand where the Goinim came off. I guess Rabban Lichtenstein must have seen him. He must have him an Oitzer Agoinim also. He's 10 years older than me. Some of the he saw 10 years before me. So his practice would be that he stood during the Krimigim. When I was growing up in Pennsylvania, I don't remember, and even in New York in the earliest, I don't remember that everybody stood to hear the brachas when the Balkari said the brachas before. And in recent years, the Mishnah Berurah became very popular. When I was growing up, when I was a Talmud here in Yeshiva, they didn't have any Mishnah Berurah in the bookcases here in the base. I didn't have a Mishnah Berurah. I never saw Mishnah Berurah until a few years after I got married. And when we learned the Rechaim in the Yeshiva, Rav Soloveitchik gave Shir, he didn't use a Mishnah, but he used the Shulchan Aruch with the Magen Avraham and the Bi'ur Agro. So in recent years, the Mishnah Berurah became more populous, and Mishnah Berurah quotes this from the Machzor HaShekel. Machzor HaShekel is on the bottom of the page. That's a commentary on the Magen Avraham, because the Magen Avraham is written very bekitza nimrods. So the Machzor HaShekel always spells out what he means, and the Machzor HaShekel has this chiddush. But all brachas should really be recited by Amida, and the three brachas of the Megillah, not only the Bakur should stand, everybody's being yetzin, so everybody should stand as well. But many other Achranim disagree. The Pnei Yeshua disagrees. So Frank has a tshuva about this. Yeah, a brichas ha-mitzvah should be recited by Amida over a mitzvah that's supposed to be performed by Amida. But if the mitzvah can be performed by Yeshiva, why should it be more machmer on the bracha than on the mitzvah itself? So maybe since the Mikra Megillah may be fulfilled by Yeshiva, of course HaMegillah Imed V'Yoshev, so maybe the bracha can also be recited by Yeshiva. But that's that became very popular all over the world now, that everybody stands when the Valkyrie says the three brachas before the Mikra Megillah.
Based on the last hour, why are Ashkenazim to Makbid to stand when they make the bracha in Shaliyad?
I thought they stand when they put on tefillin. And
isn't that according to Mishnah Berurah that that's because they make a brachas of mitzvah when you stand?
That's why.
Isn't that why?
I don't know. I thought it's because the mitzvah should be performed by me. I don't know. Have to look into that. I don't know. The Gemara quotes the Mishnah says if the Midag HaMakom is to recite the bracha Rabbis Yuvain after the Mikra Megillah, you say it. If the Midag HaMakom is you don't say, you don't say. What does it mean? What mean the Minig? They made up a new bracha mitam Minig. So the Pashto says the Anshei Knesset HaGdol composed the bracha, and they left it as an optional bracha. You're not mechuyav to say. Optional. Okay. The Rama writes that you only say the bracha b'tzibur. You don't say the bracha b'yachid. Like a Talmud Torah. When a person wakes up in the morning, says b'chas ha-Torah. But when he goes to sleep at night, he doesn't say bracha ashenasan lanum. When you get an aliyah, so you say b'zman ha-tanayim, you only say, the kohen said the bracha ashenasan lanum, and the one who got the aliyah said the bracha ashenasan lanum. Then in the days of Rabbi Shmuel, they made every aliyah into a separate unit. The Gemara gives a whole explanation why. So they had every Olel HaTorah said a bracha before and after. But to say a bracha after, that's only on Kriyas HaTorah B'tzibur. Kriyas HaTorah, Talmud Torah B'yochid, there is no bracha Shel Achriyah. So that's what the Rama says, that the bracha Rabbi Shevein is only recited when you're laying the Megillah B'tzibur. That's why it's not right that we have these minyanim for the women, they lay their own Mikra Megillah. The Rama says that it's a machlokes harishanim, whether 10 women count as Mikra Megillah B'tzibur. The practice of the Balei HaTosis was that not. The Gemara has a machlokes. Is it proper to have Mikra Megillah b'asorah davke, even Mikra Megillah b'zman? So the Gemara says, even though Rab disagreed with his Talmud Rav Asi, nonetheless, Rab is choshish for Rav Asi's opinion. We have it here in Sanhedrin also. Rab is choshish for Rav Asi's opinion. On the side of the Gemara, they tell you, look in Megillah, the same thing. That's by Megillah b'asorah b'zman. So Rab is machma for his Talmud's opinion. He had respect for his Talmud. He was choshish for the Talmud's opinion. Mikra Megillah should be ba'asar. So there's a machloikus, whether asar means 10 men or asar means 10 women. So the Rama, the Tosfei Rosh, the Rama quotes the machloikus. The Tosfei Rosh in Brachas on the first daf in Shlosh Sha'achlu. The Gemara says that even 100 women is only like 2 men. What does it mean? That the 100 women don't constitute a minion. So the Tosfei Rosh says, when you get to what? When you get to Mikra Megillah, the Rama says, when you get to Benjamin Zilma B'Shem, if you have 10 men, you say Baruch Alakenu, Shachal Namishaloi. So if you have 10 women, the Rambam says they bench Mezuman, they can bench Mezuman, they don't say Mezuman B'Shem Hashem, because 10 women don't constitute a tzibur. The later Achrayim say that the reciting of a Rabbi Zivena depends on the Minig HaMakom. That's how the Mishnah says, and the Minig for centuries was like the Rama, that you only say a Rabbi Zivena if you lay Ba'asorah. The Rana, the end of Maseches, Rosh Hashanah, writes that even though there is a din Shomer Ka'ina, I can be Yotzi someone else's Kiddush and Havdalah and Mikra Megillah and Tkiyah Shofar is also Shomer Ka'ina. But there, he quotes a Yerushalmi that there are three halachas where we don't permit Shomer Ka'ina. One is by Kriyah Shema, everyone should be Mekabel on Malchus Shemayim on their own. One is by Tefillah, if you're asking for Bakoshes, you need something. You don't feel well, you need a parnasa, you want to be blessed with a shidduch or with children, whatever a person needs. You should ask the Rabban Shalom himself. You shouldn't just be Yotzi Shemei Koina. If you need something, so ask yourself. And the third exception to the rule is with respect to eating food. You didn't ask him to eat an extra sandwich for you. You're eating the sandwich. So you should say the bracha before and after on your own. And you don't say Shema Ekain in connection with brachas on eating food. The Maisa we do. One person says Amotzi, everybody's Yotzi. So that's a Mishnah, that sometimes there's an exception to the rule. But basically the rule is you don't say Shema Ekain on these three. So unless the Gemara has a case, let's say Bichas Hamazon. So if it's Mizuman, that's an exception to the rule. The whole group offers one Mizuman, one Bichas Hamazon Bechabura. Or the Gemara has another case. Two people ate a sandwich, and one is a sefer, one is knowledgeable, he knows how to recite benching, and one is a boor, he doesn't know how to say Birchas HaMazon. So if you say you don't allow Shemei HaKoyin, say he just won't be Yotzei Birchas HaMazon, he doesn't know how to bench. So the Gemara says, if a Mavarcha bull Yotzei B'Bruchosai, that if it's a Shas HaTchak, we do permit Shemei HaKoyin. Why? So the Mishnah Berurah quotes from the Bir Rabbah that the whole din of the Rishami, that there are three halachas, but you don't allow Shemei HaKoyin, by Kriya Shema, by Tefillah, by Brachas, in connection with eating food, that's only mid the Rabbanim. But Antar Yidua, you always allow Shema Koina, and if you have a big Shas HaTchak, the fellow is a boor, he doesn't know how to say benching. So you rely on the din there, I said. So in Shulchan Aruch, it says like this, Chaba quotes from the Orchas Chaim, I think, that if you have a community where you have less than a minyan, you don't have 10 people, and all the people who are there know how to read Hebrew. They can all read the Megillah on their own. So you don't allow Shema Ekaina. You don't allow one person to read the Megillah to be Moitzi. Everybody has to read the Megillah on their own. Unless the other people don't know how to read the Megillah. So if it's Sefer Bur, then you allow Shema Ekaina less than Asura. Why? Which one of the three exceptions to the rule is this? So the Magen Avraham says it must be the Mikra Megillah is treated like Tefillah. So Rav Soloveitchik pointed out that the Gemara in the beginning of Maseches Megillah quotes from the Amoraim that Chayvonim Likrasas and Megillah Balaylo Lashanosa Bayom. In the Mishnayse never says, Mishnayse only says you read the Megillah Bayom. Never says a word about Mikra Megillah Balaylo. The Amoraim say like that. So that's what led Rav Soloveitchik was fond of saying this over. That's what led Rav Shlomo Vilna, was a dayan in Vilna in the late 1800s. He was the Magia on the Vilna Shas. When they were printing, setting the type of the Vilna Shas, he corrected it. So Shlomo the Vilna writes in one of his Svarim, Binyan Shlomo, he was the younger brother of Rabbi Tzal of Vilna, with the both Dayanim of Vilna, both geniuses. So he writes in Yishlomo, he thinks that maybe the Takana Mikra Megillah Balayla was only instituted by Zman HaMaroi. Zman HaTana, maybe it didn't exist. Rishonim don't say like that. The Rishonim assume that it did exist, Zman HaTana.
Then
Odaviyuda
says the same thing.
Oh yeah. Oh, okay. So, Sir Shlomo Vilna is not alone. Okay, he doesn't quote it. He doesn't quote it from that. Also says like that. Ah, is that very good? Okay. So a few gedolim say like that. The Rishonim say beferish that they think it existed b'zman HaTanoim also. So the Amoraim quote two psukim to indicate that you have to read the Megillah Balaylo Shanos HaBayim. So one pasuk is, Laman Zamecha Chavod V'lai Yidam Hashem Alakai L'Yadam Ha'idekah, that reciting of the Megillah is like reciting Hallel. That's what the Gemara says, how come we don't recite Hallel? How come we do recite Hallel on Chanukah, we don't recite Hallel on Purim? So the Gemara gives three answers. So one of the three answers is, that Kriyas HaZu Hallel, when you read the Megillah, that's the Kiyam of Hallel. In fact, the Meiri Pasuk is like that. So the Meiri thinks that if a person is stuck on a desert island and doesn't have a Megillah, he's obligated to recite Hallel on Purim with a bracha. Mishnah Berurah quotes it, he's not so convinced that we should Pasuk like that. But the Netziv has a whole explanation why he thinks we should not Pasuk like that, should not follow the Meiri. So that's one explanation that the Gemara gives, that you don't recite Hallel on Purim because Kriyos HaZu Hallel, it's an implicit recitation of Hallel. So that's the one pasuk that the Gemara gives. Man zamecha chavod ulo idam Hashem alakai lo adom adek. I praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I say halal balayla, and I say halal again bayam. Then the Gemara quotes another pasuk to indicate that you should recite the Megillah balayla and to repeat it again bayam. The pasuk is alakai yekariyam avalasana balayla velo domi ali. That's in that perik in Tehillim that the Gemara says keli keli lama azavtani. The Gemara says that Esther recited that the trina when she had to go to the Beis HaMelech. She was praying to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he should save her. So that pasuk, the Gemara says, I offer a tefillah, and if I'm not answered, so I repeat the same tefillah again a second time. So what you're saying is that Mikra Megillah is implicitly a form of tefillah. We're offering a prayer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, just like he gave the Jewish people a Yeshua at that occasion, and she gave us a Yeshua as well. So that's what the Maharam says over here. He says that this Psakan Shulchan Aruch, that if you have a group of people, not a minyan, you don't have a minyan, but all the people know how to read the Megillah, so you don't allow Shemei Kohenah. One would have thought, it's better always if you have five people putting on a talis, it's better that one person should recite the bracha, the Sata B'tzitzis, for all five. We don't do it because everybody comes to shul at a different time. But in the Shulchan Aruch it says, the Mechaba says, it's preferable one person should say the bracha to be mitzi everybody. Or let's say, I have a next door neighbor. When I go on vacation, next to the neighbor has around 9 sons. So each one says their own Kiddush. Well, Chassidim, each one says their own Kiddush. So the Vilna, that's based on the Mechaber. The Vilna Gaon says it's better that one person should say Kiddush to be mitzi everybody, because B'roi V'am Haris Malch. It's better whenever you're doing a mitzvah. Better one person should do for everybody. But over here, by Tefillah, we don't say like that. When it comes to Tefillah, we only allow it if it's safe for a boor. One of them does know how to daven. Or if you have asara, if you have a minion, then you do allow the yechidim to be yotze with the tefillah sachazin. So that's what the mechaber paskens over here, that mikra megillah is a form of tefillah. And if everybody knows how to read the megillah on their own, you shouldn't rely on shemei kohen unless you have asara, unless you have a minion. Mikra megillah is not only a kiyum of talmud torah barabim, kriyas tanach barabim, kriyas ksuvim barabim, a kiyum of halal, implicit halal, and it's also a kiyum of tefillah. The Mishnah and the Braisa in the second parak in Megillah have a machlokes hatanaim. How much of the Megillah do you have to read? This Shabbos is Parshas Tzav, this coming Shabbos, so we link Parshas Tzav. You don't have a klap just Parshas Tzav. Yeah, you don't. You have to have at least a sefer Vayikra. The Gemara has a Chumra. The Gemara in Gittin, Parak HaNezokin, has little of HaNezokin. Yeah, a whole series of Mishnahs about Takvanis from Tetikan Oilo. So one of the takanas is about Kriyas HaTorah. So the Gemara has a little bit of a discussion. Hilchas Kriyas HaTorah. One would have thought that all the dinim of Kriyas HaTorah appear in Maseches Megillah, where it belongs. So it's not so. You have a little bit about Kriyas HaTorah by Bema Madlikin. You have a little bit, every Masech, there's always a little bit in Yuma, a little bit about Kriyas HaTorah. So here this... So the Gemara in Gittin has this discussion that if you lane from a klaf that only has Parshas Tzav, that's called Kriya Balpeh. It's only called Kriya Metechak Tzav if you have a Sefer Shalom of Ayikro. And then if Nekobet Atziba, that's not proper. You're not allowed to lane from a Chumashim. We think the word Chumashim means a printed Chumash. In the days of Gemara, Chumashim means a Sefer Bayikro written on a klaf. If Nekobet Atziba, you have to lane from a Sefer Torah that has all the Chamishu Chumashit Torah in it. Same is true regarding the Megillah. You have to have the Megillah Sester, but it doesn't necessarily mean you have to lay in the whole Megillah from the beginning to the end, like you need a Sefer Torah. This Shabbos, we're not going to lay in the whole Sefer Torah, we're just going to lay in Parshas Tzav. So there are four opinions. So we pass like Rav Meir, that you have to lay in Kula, the whole Megillah Sester, from the beginning to the end. But there were three other opinions in the Mishnah and the Braisa. One opinion is you have to start laying from Balayla Hu, not in Oshnas HaMelech. The other opinion is you have to start from Achad Rom Hele, Gidla HaMelech HaSaman. And third opinion starts from Ishi Hudi Hoi Bashushan Abir. We don't pass like any of those three opinions. We pass after Lane Kula. So it's interesting. The Gemara says if you have a Megillah that's rubbed out words or letters rubbed out here and there, as long as 51% is Biksav and only 49% is missing, if you say Ruba Kukula. So you say Ruba Kukula on two levels. You say Ruba Kukula that the Chefs of the Megillah is kosher. If you have a Sefer Torah Shechos or Esach, it's not acceptable. If you have a Megillah that's missing many words, many letters, many words, so you say Ruba Kukula. As long as the Rav is written, it's a Cheft of a Megillah, it has Kedushas Kisvekah. Then there's a din, the Megillah has to be read Metoch HaKsav. So we say, if the Balkori lanes Rav of the Megillah Metoch HaKsav, and Miut Balpeh, so it's also good. Or let's say it says in Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, if the Balkari is reading the Megillah and you think it may have missed a word or two here and there because they're making noise when they're clapping Haman, So you can read the missing words from a printed Chumash, as long as all the words are in order. Heard from the Baal Kori up until this word, then the two words I said on my own, then from that point on, the Baal Kori continues to link. So it's not l'mafreya, everything is in order. And Raiva of the Kriya was mitoch haksav, and miyot of the Kriya is balpeh. So we say Ruba Kukula on two levels. L'chat chidu shouldn't rely on Ruba Kukula. Shulchan Aruch says, no, Ruba Kukula is only good to be yevet. So Ruba Kukula is on two levels. Number one, the Chefs of the Megillah is kosher, even though only Raiva is written. And number two, that if you're supposed to learn Kriya mitoch haksav, so if the Raiva was written, the Raiva was read mitoch haksav, miyot balpeh, so that is acceptable. So the Rishonim Abadah, the Rashba quotes the Rishonim before him, bothered with a kasha, the Gemara says, even if you follow the opinion that you only have to start reading from Balayla Hud, not Nashnas HaMelech, Rish Yehudi, Herbishu Shanabir, Acha Adram HaEle, but you need a whole Sefer Torah, you're learning Parsha Zav this week, so you need the whole Megillah should be Ksuva, and you only have to start from that point on. So the Rashba quotes the kasha, but if it's Nichtav Kulo, the 9 chapters in the Megillah, so even if you're missing the beginning, but you still have more than 51% is written. So if Nichtav Rubai is good, and the fact that the Miut is missing doesn't bother me, so what's so bad if it doesn't begin from the beginning? It starts from Shehudi, it starts from Achadram Ha'ela, Rubai is going to be Nichtav. So why is there a problem there? Why does the Gemara say, Bavachadek Suba Kulam? So the Rashba gives 2 answers, so we're not sure which is the correct answer. So Shulchan Aruch quotes both answers of the Rashba. So the Rashba says one answer, yes, Nichtav Ruba is good, but if it's missing Tchiloso or Sofo, so that's no good. But the whole Begila is in the beginning is missing till Achadvam Ha'ela, so it's missing till Yishiyud Yerushushan Abira. So if Chasa B'Tchilah B'Sofo is no good, and then the Rashba gives another suggestion, maybe Chasa in Yerushalayim is no good, maybe even in the middle. Maybe if you're missing in Yerushalayim, that's what Rav Soloveitchik said from his father, if you're missing a pasuk in the middle of the Megillah, we're not so sure what's an Inyan Shalom, what's not. So if you're missing a whole pasuk, it could be that pasuk is considered an Inyan Shalom. We're not so sure what's considered an Inyan Shalom. So that's the Rashba's 2 answers that are quoted in Shulchan Aruch. Either missing Tchilas of a Sefer Inyan Shalom. So it was a Maisu Shahoya. It happens in every shul, I think. Someone comes in 1 minute late to Mikra Megillah. The Baal Kori already said the first 3 brachas. And the guy walks in either after the Baal Kori read the first pasuk or before the Baal Kori read. So the one who runs in, comes in late, says the 3 brachas on his own. He knows what it says in the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. You can be mashlim from a printed chumash. So he said the 3 brachas on his own. And he says the first 2 psukim on his own from a printed chumash. And then he listens to the Baal Kori. He says it quickly, so when he gets to pasuk gimel, Baal Kori is up to pasuk gimel. Is that acceptable or not? So we had a big machloikah. So after Mikra and Megillah was over, so the fellow told the Rabbanim and Yeshiva that that's what he did. So then Rabban Lichtenstein Zochan Bracha thought that he wasn't Yotze, because if you're missing Tchilosa, it's not good. And I didn't agree. I thought missing Tchilosa, that's only a din in the Chefts of the Megillah. If you're missing Tchilosa or Seifa, so it's not a kosher Megillah. But the Megillah was perfect. The only thing is that this fellow came in late. And he didn't hear the beginning of the Megillah, Mitoch Haksav. So I thought that the 2 dinim of Ruba Kukul. 1 din is on the Chefts of the Megillah, that's the Kosher Megillah. It's 1 din Ruba Kukul on the Kriya. So the Ruba Kukul, if you're missing Chilas of the Sofer, it's not a Kosher Megillah. But if the Megillah is Kosher, just that I said the first 2 psuk in Baal Peh, from a printed Chumash, I thought that doesn't pose a problem. So this is really a Machlokes Achreinim. Baron Lichtenstein wasn't learning Mishnah Berurah, I wasn't either. So a couple of years later, my wife gave birth to a baby on Yud Beis Adar. One of my babies was born Yud Beis Adar. So when your wife has a baby, sometimes it's a long labor, sometimes it's a short labor. So you have to take along a sefer to meet in the hospital when your wife is in labor. So I took along a Mishnah Berurah. My wife bought me a Mishnah Berurah after we were married for 6 years. And I was learning Mishnah Berurah Hilchos Purim, so I found that it's a machlokes achren. Mishnah Berurah quotes a machlokes achren exactly on this nekuda. I think that the more correct way is that the Rashba's chumra that if missing tchilas of a sefer is no good, that's only a din in the chefts of the Megillah. I don't see why it should make a difference if you're relating the kriya baal peh in the beginning. It should be the same as the middle.
According to the opinion of
Mahmir,
should that be another reason not to say less
fuss No, you say Baal Peh, so you say you're not Yotzei.
Yeah.
So the Baal Korah is going to say Mitoch HaKsav. So then that solves the problem. If you hold like that, if you hold like Abar Lichtenstein, so then there's no problem saying the last Pesuk Baal Peh. Obviously, the Aderis who thought that there's a problem, thought like me, I thought like the Aderis, that it is a problem, that the last Pesuk is not a problem, saying Baal Peh. Only if it's missing in there, that's correct, the Farish. The Aderis says like me, okay. Yeah, the Gemara says, what you say Shachyanu, if you do perform a mitzvah, bo mizman lezman. There are different chiyuvim of Shachyanu. Pre-Chodesh is one Shachyanu, and Yontav is a different Shachyanu. Different kinds of him. Beged Chodesh is a different Shachyanu. All different kinds of Shachyanus. The Tziv was a teacher when he wrote his commentary on the Sefer HaShiltas. So at the end of his whole Chibur, so he raises a question, is there a din that you say Shachyanu when you complete writing a Sefer? So he's going to run through Shas to be mavar what the din is. He quotes all the Gemaras about Shachyanu, and I forgot what his maskana was. What did he do? He don't say Shachyanu, but he runs through all the Gemaras. So there he talks about different mechayvim to say Shachyanu. So on the first day, Rosh Hashanah, we haven't blown shofar since last year. So we say Shachyanu. We just blew shofar chodesh Elul for a whole month. What do you mean we didn't blow shofar? We just blew shofar. Shachyanu means when you're excited about the mitzvah. I put on tefillin yesterday, put on tefillin the day before yesterday, so I'm not so excited, we're used to it already. But Tekir Shofar you haven't done in a year. What do you mean we just blew Shofar a whole Chodesh Elul? So the answer is Chodesh Elul was only a minig, and now you're blowing Shofar, Rosh Hashanah, you're excited that it's a real din. So when it comes the second day, Rosh Hashanah, do you say Shachyanu? You just said Shachyanu yesterday, say not so excited. So in any other Yontif, of course you say Shachyanu on Yontif Sheni, because yesterday we treated as if it's a Sfeik of the Yomim. Maybe yesterday was Chol, and today is Yom Tov. So of course you say Shachyan. Rosh Hashanah, we say that it's a Kedusha Achaz, Yom Arichba. So we don't treat it as if maybe yesterday was Chol, maybe today is Yom Tov. Both days are Yom Tov. They just blew Shofar yesterday. So does it make sense to say Shachyan on the second day? So that's a machlokes in the Shulchan Aruch. So the Mechaber Paskin said, you don't say Shachyan on the same day Rosh Hashanah. And over here, the Yekis in the neighborhood, they follow a lot of times the Psokim of the Sfardish Psokim. They say the Haftorahs that the Sfardim say, they daven Nusach Ashkenaz, they don't daven Nusach Sfarim, because they're from Germany, but they have Minhagei Sfarim. So they don't say Shachyanu on the second day Rosh Hashanah, unless the first day Rosh Hashanah was Shabbos, so you didn't blow Shofar. Then the Mechaber also says, say Shachyanu on the second day. So here also, there's a Machloikas Tosus in the Rama where they say Shachyanu on Nikra Megillah in the morning. So the Rama holds they don't say Shachyanu because he just read the Megillah last night. And Tosis holds that the Iker Kriyas HaMegillah is by Yom, more important than by Laila, for some reason or another. So Rav Soloveitchik was always fond of saying that idea from the Achrayim, that the Mikra Megillah by Laila was only instituted by Zman HaMeroim. And the Takana from the Anshek Nesak Dailov and the Dibri Kabbalah, that was only a Mikra Megillah by Yom. So he always thought that's Pshat in Tosis. And others give other interpretations. Well, whatever it is, all in Shulchan Aruch, that's the accepted opinion. The Iker Kriyas HaMegillah is by Yom. So even though we read the Megillah last night, that's like we said Shachyanu on Tekiyah Shofar on the first day of Rosh Hashanah, even though we have been blowing Shofar the whole Chodesh Elul. Because Chodesh Elul Tekiyah is not at all on the same level as Tekiyah on the first day of Rosh Hashanah. So that's what Tesis says, that Mikra Megillah Balayla is not on the same level as the Mikra Megillah Bayom. So you do say Shachyanu. So here in the Yakisha community, they don't say Shachyanu in the morning, they follow the Rambam. But in the Maharil, it says the Maharil was the Balkare. He was the Baal Tefillah, he was the Baal Kor. So he would say the first two brachas atla, then he would say softly Shachyanu under his breath, because his practice was that he do say Shachyanu like the Baal Yatesis.
What about the other mitzvahs Hayom? You say Shachyanu,
let's not see the other brachas Hayom, how do they take care of that? I don't know, maybe the others, we don't say a brachas mitzvah on Sudas Purim, Shalach Manas, Matanas, it's a question, why not? Why don't we say Birchas HaMitzvah? You don't say, usually say Shachyanu on a mitzvah in conjunction with a Birchas HaMitzvah, you also say Shachyanu. But just to say Shachyanu alone on a mitzvah without a Birchas HaMitzvah, we don't really have that. Once you're saying Shachyanu already by Yom, so the Pesuk must say, have in mind that this should be, the Shachyanu should go on the other mitzvahs Hayom as well. But we don't find that you say, I think there's a mashal like that in Bamei Madlikin, that you don't find that you say Shachyanu without the Birchas HaMitzvah.
It's also way in advance of the mitzvah.
It's what?
It's also way in advance of the mitzvah.
Yeah. Oyvah di oyvah, yeah. There's a din that people don't remember from Chelek Beis of the Mishnah Brura to Chelek Mishnah Brura written here. The Gemara has a din, also lecha sefer Torah orum. So Gemara at the end of Megillah, you're not allowed to touch a sefer Torah with your bare hands. That's how everybody assumes. There was an Eloi who lived at the same time as the Vilna Gaon, Menashe Ilya. So he had his own interpretations on Gemara. So the parents used to hire him as a malamed to teach the children, and they kept on firing him because he used to give his own pshatim, not like Rashi, not like Tosis. The Vilna Gaon was very soft on him. He liked his original pshatim. And then when they printed the Vilna Shas with the Pirush of Rabbeinu Hananel, so they found a lot of times that his wild pshatim appeared in the Rabbeinu Hananel. So one of his wild pshatim that does not appear in Rabbeinu Hananel is Eichas Sefer Torah Orum. There's an aver means if you are naked, you're not allowed to touch the Sefer Torah. But you're wearing clothing, Orum doesn't go on the Sefer Torah. You're not allowed to touch the Sefer Torah with your bare hands. It means a guy went to mikveh and he thinks he's tohor, so he wants to touch the Sefer Torah. So that's not their heres. Put on your clothes before you touch the Sefer Torah. So they fired him probably because of that pshat also. So the Beis Yosef in Hilchas Kriyas HaTorah has a machlekes harishayim. Eichas Sefer Torah Orum only goes on Sefer Torah. What about the other Sefer Nevi'im Ksuvim? The Mishnayos have that all Sefer, all the 24 Nevi'im Ksuvim are metames hayadayim. And the posh pshat metames hayadayim is to serve as a deterrent to prevent people from touching the Sefer. So the posh pshat is that you're not allowed to touch any of the Sefer Nevi'im Ksuvim with your bare hands. But it's not 100% conclusive because the din is if you touch the Eitz Chaim, the Eitz Chaim is there in order to hold on to it. So if you touch the Eitz Chaim, it's also metames hayadayim. So that you're allowed to hold on to, unless you come up with the chumi, you're not allowed to hold the Eitz Chaim. So Noga Avraham quotes such an opinion. You're not allowed to hold on to the Eitz Chaim. So when you get an aliyah, you have to hold your talis like this and hold on to the Eitz Chaim, the hefsek talis. So some people do that, Moger Avraham, they say if you want to do that, you should do it bitzinah. You shouldn't do it in a fashion that it's too obvious, because we really don't paskin like that. We paskin, you're permitted to touch. That's how you put on tefillin. So you're not allowed to touch the ritzuah. So then as you touch the bottom, you touch the ritzuah. It's also metame seyadayim. So I'm going to say you have to hold the tefillin and the ritzuah, perhaps it katalas. It's going to be impossible. So anyway, so the Beis Yosef has a machlokes harishonim, whether the din also lechel sefer Torah is restricted only to sefer Torah, or applies to all the other kisvei hakodesh as well. So we should be machmir not to touch the Megillas Esther. The Megillas Esther doesn't have an Eitz Chaim. Many times he treated nikris sefer and nikris igeris, even though we paskin Megillas Esther was incorporated into the kisvei hakodesh. There were 24 esmei yabot, 24 svarim, not 23. There were other opinions, only 23 Megillah says that's not part of the Tanakh. So the accepted opinion is that it is part of Tanakh, it is Matamah Sedaim. So nonetheless, the Gemara points out that in Megillah it says, Nikra Sefer and Nikra Sigeris. It's not 100% on the same level as all the other Svarim of the Tanakh, it's slightly lower, Nikra Sigeris. So one of the Halach, one of the Binhog may have Nikra Sigeris, you don't have an Eitz Chaim. And you don't lane like we lane from a Sefer Torah, lane from a Haftorah, from a Klaf. You fold up the whole Megillah. So when you're folding it up, you're touching the parchment. Hayitochen. So we usually are machmer not to touch the cloth of a haftarah either with your bare hands. So the Mishnah Brura points out in Hilchos Kriyas HaTorah, there is in the Mishnah, in the first end of the first parak of Masechta Shabbos, the Mishnah says that there was, at one time in history, there was a dispute between Beshama and Beshila. Beshama outvoted Beshila on 18 Zeres. Aram threw 18 Zeres. And then most of the Basila were not there that day when they took the vote. They, like in Congress, they see who's there. Then they ram through, they pass a law, knowing that the other guys are not here. And once the law is passed, so they won't be able to overturn. So the next day, the Gemara said the Basila came back. They went to a chasna, whatever. They came back the next day. They were masking. The few Basila who were there disagreed with the Bisham. But the next day, when they thought it over, and the rest of the Basila came back. So it's not. It's not that there are 18 cases, but we pass them like the Beis Shammai. The Bishamai also agree. Tosis quotes in the beginning of Sukkah, Dav Gimel, there are 6 cases. The quote from Siddur of Amram, go ahead, that there are 6 cases, but we pass them like Beis Shammai. And the 18, the Bishamai were masking. So when the Mishnah mentions the Yud Ches Gzeres at the end of the first parak of Masechta Shabbos, the Gemara tells you which are the Yud Ches Gzeres. So one of them has to do with Tumas HaYadayim and Kisvei HaKodesh. So the Gemara there has a few lines that are very, we don't understand what it means. So Taisa stands on the head to knock sense into those lines in the Gemara. So the Mordechai quotes another Bala Taisus, who gives a simple pshat in the Gemara. He says, the Gemara is assuming the following. Also, lecha sefer Torah, you're not allowed to touch the sefer Torah with your bare hands because a dai maskani is saying, because the hands, who knows? He touched the shoes, he touched the inside of his body. Who knows what he touched? That's why stam yadayim have a din of sheni letuma, because stam yadayim maskani is saying, but what if the person washed until this yadayim in advance in order to be allowed to touch the sefer Torah? Then it's mutter to touch the sefer Torah with your bare hands. So the Mordechai has this pshat. And if you assume like that, then the Gemara reads very smoothly. But Tosfos didn't assume like that. Tosfos never heard of this assumption. So Tosfos works very hard to make sense towards the end of the first perek in Masechet Shabbos. So we don't pass on like that opinion. Even if you wash until the Siddam, you're not permitted to touch the Sefer Torah with your bare hands. However, with respect to Shar Nevi'im Uksuvim, so the Mishnah Berurah says you have a Sfek Sfek. Maybe the din is that also Lecha Sefer Torah Orem only applies to the Sefer Torah. And even if one should assume it applies even to the Nevi'im Uksuvim, maybe the din is like that opinion in the Mordechai, because it reads very well in the Gemara that if you wash until the Siddam in advance, then you're allowed to touch it. So that's what the Mishnah Berurah recommends in Hilchas Kriyas HaTorah, he writes it. He doesn't repeat it in Hilchas Purim, so nobody remembers from Chelek Beis to Chelek Vav. But those people who are going to touch, those people who are going to handle a Megillah should really wash until it's a diamond in advance. Believe Bracha, we're not Vadai convinced of this Mordechai. We're Mitzarf the Mordechai's opinion to constitute a Svek Sveka, to be makel to touch the cloth. So he washed until it's a diamond, believe Bracha. And then you have the Heta to touch the cloth of the Sefer Torah, of the Nevi'im Uksuvim, the cloth of the Megillah Sestim. What in the Mitzvah Sayon?
Is that because Megillah anyway is Egeret, that you don't even use it?
The Gemara says it's Metamis HaYadayim. Usually so Metamis HaYadayim is to serve as a deterrent, not to touch it with your bare hands. So the Pashta says you're not supposed to touch it. Pashta says you're not supposed to touch it. Should be the same as the other Kisvi HaKodesh. If the din is only on Sefer Torah and not allowed to touch, okay, the others are muta. But if the others you're not allowed to touch with your bare hands, Nikris Segeris shouldn't be a kula here.
Didn't Rebbe mention?
Nikris Segeris, that's why the meaning is that we fold it. We don't have two atzei chayim. You don't read like a real sefer from Tanakh. You treat it like as if it's all Torah Shabbat Peh. It's not 100% Torah Shabbat Chsav. It's on a lower level than the rest of the Torah Shabbat Chsav. Slightly lower level. One of the mitzvahs on Purim is this Suda, Suda Spurim. The Gemara says, Suda Spurim, Shasol Balayla, Lo Yotze Ilechai Vasai, because the word in the Pasuk says Yom. So the Mordechai, Shulchan Aruch, they quote, the Mordechai has two pshatim on that Gemara. The Pasha pshat is that you're not Yotze Ilechai Balayla. The other pshat is no, it's like Yontif. You have to have one Suda by Yom, one Suda Balayla. Shabbos, you have three Sudas, because there's Zechal Amon. Yontif, we assume there is no Suda Shlishis, but the two Sudas are one Suda Balayla, one Suda by Yom. Because there's a din of kvod yom and a din of kvod laila. The Gemara has, the Gemara says that kvod yom odif with kvod laila. There's some delicacy that the family enjoys, especially, so you should serve it by yom as opposed to laila. And Mogar Avram quotes the Zohar who says, faket, kvod laila odif with kvod yom. So it's just the opposite from the Talmud Bavli, but Atzar HaShav Shabahem, the Zohar and the Gemara, both saying the same thing, that there's a din of kvod yom and there's a din of kvod laila. So that's why you have to have one suda by yom and one suda by laila. Then on Shabbos, you have suda shlishis, zechal amon. We don't make a zechal amon on yontif, that's a problem, why not? We have lechem mishnah on yontif, zechal amon, because the amon neither fell down, not on Shabbos, not on yontif. That's a beferish Gemara, the first daf in Maseches Beit. Tosfos points out the man did not fall down, neither on Shabbos. Even though Chumash only says the man didn't fall down on Shabbos, but the Gemara is beferish, the man didn't fall down on Yom Tov either. So how come we make Zechel Amon, we have Lechem Mishnah, we don't have Suda Shlishis? Is a good Tekasha. So the Mordecha has the two sheets. One sheet is that Suda Spurim Shasol Balayla Yedot Lo Yotz Nechavos means it's not sufficient. You have to have two Sudas. You have to have one Suda Balayla, you have to have one Suda Bayom. The other opinion is no, there's no Chiyav Suda Balayla. It's only a Chiyav Suda Bayom. What should the Suda consist of? So the Rambam writes the Suda should be Basa V'Yayin, and the yain should be Adda Lo Yoda. So if you hold that you need Suda Balayla, Suda Bayom, so you should have a fleshig meal Balayla. So we once had, years ago, we had one of the boys from the neighborhood, Ariel Yeke. He knew all the Minhagim. His father was one of the Rabbanim, one of the elder Rabbanim in one of the German shuls in the neighborhood. So he was telling us that in different parts of Germany they had different minhagim regarding the Suda Leil Purim. After the Tanis is up, where they have Davke Fleshiks or Davke Milchiks. So if you hold that, you, if you want to be choshish for this Mordechai, that you have to have one surah balayla, one surah bayam, the same as Yantiv, then you have to have fleshings balayla, fleshings bayam, because the Rambam says basa b'yayin. But if you hold like the other sheet that surah Purim shasa balayla doesn't count at all, Lev Purim doesn't count at all, then you have dafke milchiks to demonstrate that it's not oila, it doesn't count as one of the two surahs. They said that they have a different parts of Germany, they have different minhagim about this. That's what the Brisker Rav pointed out, that the people like to get drunk on Purim. They think Adalo Yod is a separate mitzvah. So you look in the Rambam says that this is all a detail within the Suda. If you get drunk, unrelated to the Suda, you're not Yotze, you should have Basa V'yayin, and Yayin should be Adalo Yod. Do you have to wash for the Suda? Do you have to wash for the Suda? So the Magen Avraham quotes a Machlokes Achrayim, if a person benches on Purim, and if you got to say Al Anisim, maybe he's not Yotze, maybe he has to bench over again. Like on Shabbos and Yantav, there's a Chiv Suda, you have to say Ritze, you have to say Yalav Yavai. So if a person benches, forgot to say Ritze, forgot to say Yalav Yavai, he has to either eat over again, or he has to bench over again. They were Mekel, usually after you finish eating on Shabbos and Yantav, you stop, so you're not in the mood to eat another meal. So the Chachamim were Mekel, they permitted us to recite the Birchas HaMazon the second time with Ritze and Yalav Yavai, to be kaveh the Suda, the shame Suda Shabbos. So Yom Purim, that's the shayla. Person had a whole Suda's Purim, a Bekovetika Suda. He benches, and if he got to say Al Anisim, so do you say he's not Yotze the Suda? Because the Bikaveh, the Suda, Suda's Purim, you have to mention Haskara of Purim in the Birchas HaMazon. Or do you say no, but he is Yotze? It's a Magram called Samachloikas Achrein. So what's the Nukudas Samachloikas? And the Magan Avram thinks the Machloikas is, but the Suda's Purim requires pas. If you don't eat bread, so you could have fulfilled Suda's Purim by eating a whole meal and saying Bar Nefashas at the end. Would have said Bar Nefashas, there wouldn't have been any Haskara of Al Anisim. So even though you personally ate bread, let's say by Suda Shlishis, so because it's one opinion of Tesis that you ate Suda Shlishis, the Minyan Targimo, so you didn't have to wash and have bread. So even if you did wash and you have bread and you bench and forget to say, you have to bench over again. Because obviously, if you could have been Yotze with Mini Targimo, you wouldn't have to recite Birch Zamaz and would have said Barna Foshas, you wouldn't have mentioned Shabbos. So obviously, the Suda Shlishis, Yotze, it's Nikvas, the Suda Shlishis, without the Askoras, the Ein Amora in the Birch Zamaz. So the Magen Rav thinks that that's the Machlokes Achreinim. That you have to have pas for Suda's Purim, or not. The Aruch HaShulchan thinks that it's not correct. He quotes the Magen Avraham. He thinks that it's not correct. He has a raya that you're not yotze any sudas mitzvah if you don't wash. Let's say you go to a wedding, you plan to leave early, you're not going to stay till the bench of mezumin. So so a lot of people don't wash. So they eat at the wedding and they don't wash. So if you don't wash, the Aruch HaShulchan thinks that you're not yotze the sudas mitzvah. You had a delicious dinner. It's a nice meal. But it wasn't, it was a sudas rishus. He thinks that you're not yotze anytime there's a chiv sudas mitzvah. So you have to wash to be kaveh that it should be considered a sudas
mitzvah.
Okay. The whole point is to be kaveh mitzvah. So they're saying that the benching was before good. Benching was good. So I mean, that you use the suffix just to repeat it to be kaveh mitzvah. If a person benches on Shabbos and he forgot to say ritzei, the pashtus is that is yotzei the suda. So we either require of him he should eat another meal, or we are mekel, he stopped already. We're mekel, let him repeat the Birchas HaMazon with Ritzei to be kaveh the Suda, the Shem Suda Shabbos. Yeah, but the Birchas HaMazon is Yotze.
And that wouldn't be called the Bracha L'Atala because it's accomplishing the Suda, so it's not.
Right, right. The Rav Soloveitchik gave a whole Yotze drasha on that theme to show that that's the Pshat. He brought a lot of rice. One of the rice was that Zechuas, Rashi, and Pardes. That three people benched Mizuman on Shabbos. All three forgot to say. So all three have to bench over again. So Rashi says, when they bench the second time, there's no more Mizuman. Because the Gemara says, Ein Zimun L'Mafreya. What do you mean, Ein Zimun? The Gemara has a story that three people ate together, and they knew he's supposed to bench Mizuman, but the idea of Mizuman is, if one is more learned than the other two, so the one that's more learned should bench Mizuman. All three were learned on the same level, so they couldn't pick who should mezuman, so each one benched on his own. Then afterwards they found out that they did a stupid thing, they should have benched mezuman. So well, no one is more learned than the other one. So they asked, should they bench over now, mezuman? So the Amora told them, no, ein zimun l'mafreya, you were ready to birchas hamazon, The only time you bench mezumin is if you weren't yotzei birchas hamazon yet. If you're yotzei birchas hamazon, so you don't bench mezumin. So Rashi says here, all three benched on Shabbos. They bench mezumin. All three forgot to say, and all three have to repeat the benching. But he says, since they were yotzei the benching, ein zimun lamafreh. So each one should bench on his own. Why is ein zimun lamafreh? But they weren't yotzei the benching. So Rav Soloveitchik said, you see from Rashi's tshuva that they were yotzei the benching. If you left out the ritzei or the yalav yalav, you're not yotzei the suda Shabbos. So the chachamim were makel. If you're not in the mood to eat another meal, really you should sit and wash again, eat another meal, and then recite bench and say the Birchas Hamazon with the Haskaras Mein Amora. But they were makel if you just finished eating. So the makel, you can say the Birchas Hamazon again. It's not a bracha levato. And that's why Tosfos says by Suda Shlishis, if you hold that Midat Tagima is good enough, and you could have been yotzei Suda Shlishis without Birchas Hamazon by saying Bar Nefashis, and there wouldn't have been any Haskara of Shabbos, even if you happened to wash. And you are supposed to say Ritzei, but you can't say that the Ritzei is Ma'akev. It could have been Kaveh the Suda Suda Shlishis without Ritzei. Could have eaten without washing. Could have said Bar Nefashis. So that's how the Magen Avraham learns is the Machloike Sachreinim, if one forgot the Ala Nisim. Yeah.
Are you
okay with
having chicken at the
Purim Seder? Does it have to be Besar Behema? That's a machlokes on Yontif also, the first page in Yeravidei. The first page in Yeravidei, it says that an Ovel shouldn't shecht, because the Ovel is aggravated. To shecht, you have to be calm, you have to be relaxed, in order to make sure you don't make a psul in the shechita. So what if the Ovel is the only one who knows how to shecht, and Yontif is coming? So you have no choice, so he has to shecht for the community. What if there is a shechet who can shecht chickens? But the Ovel is the only one who knows how to shecht behemoth. So is it absolutely necessary to eat besar ein simcha lebebasar on yantav? Is it absolutely necessary to have besar behemoth on yantav for simcha? Or can one fulfill the simcha's yantav with besar oif as well? So that's a machlokes, I think, the Yad Avram and the Yad Ephraim. On the first page in Yeridei, the first omer in Yeridei, that's a machlokes achren. Same shayla by wedding. At a wedding, the wedding is a suda shel simcha, so you should have basar. So that's a shaila. Are you yotze with so milchik is not right to have. Have a milchik wedding is not right. Mishnah Berurah says in the very end of Chelek Kei, Mishnah Berurah, the last siman in Chelek Kei is about simchas yontif. So he quotes a machlekes achreinim. The Gemara in the end of Psochim says, "This bunch of basic mikdash yikai main simcha be besar shlam. You have to eat besar karbonis." And after the Chur Beis Hamikdash, there's no Besar Shlam, ain't Simcha Ela B'Yayin. So what does that mean? So there's a Machlokes. So the minority hold that it's not enough Basa, you have to have Basa B'Yayin. And the Mishnah Berurah thinks that the Rav HaAchrayim think that the Basa is irrelevant. Since it's not Besar Shlam, the Basa is irrelevant. So it's only Yayin. You only have Yayin. The Basa is irrelevant. So that's a Shaila. Mishnah Berurah thinks that that's Mi'ikredin. That you don't really need basar at all on yantav. You just need yayin. A lot of people don't drink yayin. So let's say by a wedding. So really, everyone should really drink wine. At every table, everyone should have a little bit of wine. Basar b'shat yinat yotzei with grape juice. And simcha l'biyayin means it has some alcoholic content to it. It relaxes you. Puts you in a happy mood. The grape juice is like orange juice. That's like a tomato juice. That doesn't really put you in a happy mood. I'll be pashtus. So, but a wedding, for sure, you should have yayin. And then basar, so if we're machma on yantav, so it should be machma by wedding also to have basar. So in this funny sefer I mentioned the other day, the Piskei Tshuva, I mentioned them yesterday with the Raga Tshuva about Mesis for Apikursus. So in this funny sefer Piskei Tshuva, usually he quotes things, he gives you a chapter and verse, he says, he's either believe it or not, so Shabbos and Tshuvas, if I don't give you a chapter and verse, you don't believe that it says it there. And then once in a while he quotes something that he heard from the Ger Rebbe, that he personally heard from Aron Golem. So he quotes that he heard from the Ger Rebbe that by wedding, more correct is to have Besar Behema, not to have chicken at a wedding, because on Yontif it's a machlokes on the first page in Yeridei. And the Suda on a wedding is because of a simcha, same simcha, the B'yayin, same simcha, the B'basar. And if it's too expensive, it's much more expensive to have meat instead of chicken. So he says he should at least try to see to it that 10 people should have Besar Behema, and the rest can have the chicken. Okay? So that's an asik for a Sudas Chasen as a Sudas Mitzvah. So the Aruch HaShulchan thinks that every Sudas Mitzvah you have to wash. If you don't wash, you're not yet to the Sudas Mitzvah. And then the Shaila, can you have a Milchik wedding? So the Aram Shik has a tshuva. He says you shouldn't. Shevet brachas also. So not only shevet brachas also should be fleishig. The whole idea of a sudu shevet brachas is a sudu shel simcha. So it should be basa. It should be preferably psar beima. And but the Yevid will settle for chicken. On Shabbos there is no chiyuv simcha. So Shabbos you can have a chicken. Shabbos is only oinig. So oinig is whatever people enjoy. It says in Shulchan Aruch, if there are people who enjoy fasting better than eating, so they can be yetzah oinig Shabbos by fasting. People enjoy eating milchiks, they don't enjoy eating fleishiks. So the yetzah oinig by having milchiks. On Yontif, that's a question. On Yontif, you have to have simcha. That's a question. What if the person doesn't enjoy drinking wine and doesn't enjoy eating the meat? They say you got to choke on it, you got to eat the meat and drink the wine even if you choke on it. That's the halacha. It's judged objectively, got to have basa b'yayin. Or they say no. Just like oneg is judged subjectively, whatever you personally enjoy, that's how you establish what's oneg. So maybe simchas yontif also established subjectively. So that's a diun and darkei moshe on the bottom of the tour. And other achranim talk about it.
Whether you need a motzi for sudas mitzvah, shouldn't we determine that based on whether a bein sar or mara is suda, whether his suda should have, bread in it?
I don't know, is there a din that he has to have a suda? It says zel v'soyve. It says zel v'soyve means he has a bus of a yayin, like
so
a gangster.
So sudas mitzvah, then he's not chayav.
Sudas mitzvah does not become a ben sar mara. Yeah, but it does. Is there really a din that to become a ben sar mara you have to eat a suda? Zalu v'seve. If he drinks the wine like a gangster and he eats the steaks like a gangster, he doesn't have to be part of a suda. I don't know if the ben sar mara has to have a suda. Yeah.
So based on that din, the achronim, can shel brachos be milchiks?
The pashtasu should not be. That's included in Maram Shik's tshuva that the chasana should be fleishiks and the shevet bracha should be fleishiks and preferable should be besar behema, not besar rais. And everybody for sure should have yayin. And if you want to be maker like the Mishnah Berurah holds, mikra adin bismanazer the baser is irrelevant. But the yayin that everybody agrees, everyone has to have yayin by the shevet bracha, yeah, by the chasana.
So, like when they sit in front of her. Machlokas whether somebody doesn't like meat, is a vegetarian, whether he has to have it on Yom Tov. What do you think getting married at the sudas of the wedding? He and the bride, they're both vegetarians. They don't like meat.
Okay, you have other people. Other people have a suda and they're on it. The other people made a suda, so they don't have to eat the suda.
You should still have to meet for everybody.
You have you have 10 people who are enjoying the meat. Chos and Kala don't have to eat the meat. Okay. In Shulchan Aruch, there's a machloikis, and we pass on halacha that if a person ate the meal on Purim and he recites Birchas Hamazon on Metzoy Purim, even after Tzei Sakuchavim, you go bas at Chilas Hasuda and you do say Vialanism. Same thing Shabbos and Yontov, you say Ritzei, you say Yalav Yava, even though it's already after Tzei Sakuchavim. But it's really a machloikis. The Bisesi quotes a machloikis in Hilchas Birchas Hamazon. So I remember Rav Soloveitchik's mother once gave us Musar. It was Rish Chodesh, and she was benching Birchas Hamazon right before the Shkia. While she was benching, we were washing in the Tillis Adayim, and we sat down, we said Hamotzi, as she was reciting Birchas Hamazon, we said Hamotzi to begin to eat the meal on Rish Chodesh, and then we're going to eat the meal into Matzoi Rish Chodesh, and bench when it's already Chol. So when she finished benching, so she turned to us, and she said in Yiddish, the Bachim are learning the yeshiva all their lives and they don't know it's a machlekes in Shulchan Aruch. When they say Yalav Yava, if you ate the meal on Rosh Chodesh and bench Matzor Rosh Chodesh, you don't do it. You did. Either you do like I did, you bench before the Shkia, or you wash after Tzei Sakucham. You're not supposed to put yourself into such a situation. So here in yeshiva, they do it all the time. By the Chassidic Shirebis, they do it all the time. They start Shalosh Shuras on Shabbos, and they have a speaker, and then they bench after Tzei Sakuchavim. They do it all the time. But more correct is to avoid it even on Shabbos and Yom Tov, to bench before the Shkia. More correct is to bench before the Shkia. But then the Gaon writes that there's more of a svara to say on Shabbos and Yom Tov that you do say Ritzei, you do say Yalav Yav, more of a svara than on Purim, because on Shabbos and Yom Tov there's a concept of Tosefah Shabbos. So if you're Moshe Mechol Al HaKodesh, that's still Shabbos. It's not that you had the meal on Shabbos and benching Matzoi Shabbos. It's still Tosefah Shabbos. But it's still a machloikis. On Shabbos and Yom Tov, it's still a machloikis. And Purim is also a machlokes. So more correct is if a person avoids the whole thing. Yeah.
Would it be better benching your fetus before Shkia as opposed to like waiting to bench the Mizumin after Shkia?
I don't think so. Mizumin, you're mechuyif to have Mizumin? I don't think so. Mikra, then we pass on that you do say Al Hanisim, even if you bench after Purim is over already. The Shulchan Aruch quotes from the Talmud Yerushalmi that if the Balkur is reading the Megillah and he made a mistake, he mispronounced a word, but with the mispronunciation it doesn't really mishana esoinyan. He read Yehudiyim instead of Yehudim because it's a Kriya Ksiv, it has two yuds in the word Yehudiyim. So it says in Shulchan Aruch from the Yerushalmi that b'di'evad yuds. So truth of the matter is that the practice in many places is that they read over a few psukim, Ishla Amad Bifneim, Ishla Amad Lifneim, it's a suffix what the correct reading should be. So lifneim, bifneim, the whole thing is a chumer. Mikaradin, Rav Soloveitchik said it's really the same thing. I remember I once asked Rav Soloveitchik that in the Sefer Or Zeruah, that's from one of the Rishonim, Maram Rutmerg was the Talmud of the Or Zeruah. So in the Or Zeruah, he only has one suffix about what the correct text should be in the Megillah Esther. It says, Vaishaneha esnara seha l'tov beis hanoshim. So the two girsas he claims that it says, Vaishaneha vi esnara seha, Vaishaneha esnara seha. So I said to Rav Soloveitchik, if you know over Bifneim, Lifneim, so why don't we, or Lahashmin Vilaharagalayim, Lahashmin Laharagalayabay, that in the early Rishonim, in early sources, you don't find that there was a suffix about this. Here the Ozaru has a suffix what the correct reading is. So why don't we lay this over? So he said, do me a favor. He said, you're not Mechuyif to lay over Bifneim, Lifneim. It's a Torah that's not Mishana Sarinian. So, but he ever did it. Yeah, you should correct it though. That's why the meaning all of, that's why the meaning many places is that they read it twice. Lifneim, Lifneim, B'di'evet, Yoyotze. But L'chatchili should read it correctly. Yeah. In Hilchas Kriyas HaTorah, the Shulchan Aruch carries over that din from Mikra Megillah, the Kriyas HaTorah as well. That if the Balkori made a mistake in Kriyas HaTorah on a regular Shabbos, or Sheni V'Chamishi, and he mispronounced the word, so if it's not Mishana Sovinian, so you don't have to repeat it. Rav Soloveitchik said that Rav Chaim thought the Rambam doesn't agree. Because the Rambam says that if the Balkari made a mistake, even a dikduk kal, even a slight mistake, you have to read it over again. So he said that his grandfather Rav Chaim thought even if the Balkari makes a mistake in Trump, you have to read it over. He said he, as a young child, he visited Rav Chaim very few times. He saw the other grandfather a lot. But with the grandfather, Rav Chaim lived in a different city. The last year and a half of Rav Chaim's life, they were together, talking, learning every day. But in the earlier years, he hardly visited Rav Chaim. So he said, on one occasion when he visited Rav Chaim, so they gave him maftir, and he said, Rav Chaim was on one side of the bima, and Rav Simcha Zadok was on the other side of the bima. Rav Chaim said, make sure you don't make a mistake in trup, because we're going to make you lay it over, we're going to correct you. If you make a mistake in trup, because the Rambam says, afilu dik de kal. The Mechaber says not so. Mechaber says even if you made a mistake in pronunciation in Kriyas HaTorah, it is not Mishana Sarinyan. Mechaber got it from Hilchas Megillah. Megillah could be that it's Nikra Sefer and Nikra Sigeris. Just like Nichtav Rubo, if Miut of the Megillah is missing, so we make it. In a Sefer Torah, we pass in Sochos or Isachas is a puzzle of Sefer Torah. So that's a question whether this is a Kula in the Megillah because Nikra Sigeris. What if you have, let's say, the Haftarah? Today they're going to learn Dirshu from Yeshaya. So what if the Sefer Yeshaya is missing a letter here and there? But Roiv is written. So do you gain anything by learning from the Klaf? Because someone has to memorize the whole, the trup in the Nekudas. Maybe if you're missing Oisachas, maybe it's possible in all the Sefer HaTanakh with the one exception of Megillah Esther. Maybe it's only a Kula Megillah Esther because Nikra Sefer and Nikra Sigeris. Or could be that it's not so. It could be that Nichtav Kulo is a din in all of Sifrei Tanakh except for the Chumash. Because Rav Soloveitchik raised the possibility because it says at the end of Chumash Dvarim, so he said, Ha'ika Chalos Moshe Lichtav, called him Ater Azais Atumam. And he gave it to the Kohen of Bnei Levi, but Samta Moshe, but Tzara Rabbi Hashem, Bahoy Hashem, Bechol Yeh. So maybe it's a special din Atumam only in Sefer Torah. Sefer Torah Shechosa Reisachas. The Rambam writes like that. Sefer Torah Shechosa Reisachas. The Gemara never says Sefer Torah Shechosa Reisachas. The Gemara says Sefer Torah Shechosa Yiriya Achas. Yiriya Achas is a few columns. That's an awful lot missing there. Chasa Reisachas is a Zohar. So that's the question. The Rambam got it from the Zohar. Every so often there are things in the Rambam that the only mocker is a Zohar. The Rambam says in Hilchas Chalitza, when the Yavama takes off the shoe, she throws it away. That's the minhag. So the only source for that is in the Zohar. Could be that the Rambam saw a Chalitza, and that's the way they did it. That was always the minhag. So he wrote, she takes off the shoe and she throws it away. So it's a question, did he get it from the Zohar, or that was the practice, and the Rambam wrote it? Anyway, this also, the Kes Mishnah raised the question, where did the Rambam get this from? So he claims, Kes Mishnah says, he doesn't say a Zohar. He says he got it from the Gemara in Bava Basra. The Gemara in Bava Basra has a machlokes hatanoim. Who wrote the Shmoneh Psukim Shabbatur? Who wrote the last section in the Chumash that has an obituary of Moshe Rabbeinu? So did Moshe Rabbeinu write that, or did Yeshua ben Nun write that? Because it says Yeshua, it says Yeshua ben Nun wrote something. So one Tana says that's what he wrote. He wrote the Shmoneh Psukim Shabbatur, the last section in the Chumash that describes the death and the burial of Moshe Rabbeinu. The other Tana says no. Everything in the Chumash was written by Moshe Rabbeinu. So the expression that Machlek Zabiyud Reb Shimon. So the expression that the Tana uses is Efshes Sefer Torah Chosar Esachas. And Moshe Rabbeinu gives it Balakach Sefer Torah Hazeh, and he gives it to the Kohanim and Levi, and he calls it a Sefer Torah. So the Lashon of the Gemara is Efshes Sefer Torah Chosar Esachas. So the Kes Mishnah says he thinks the Rama got it for that Gemara. The Chosar Esachas is not called the Sefer Torah. Anyway, but that's a question. In the Tshuvas HaRitva, there's one Tshuva where he writes both Lashonis, that the Sefer Torah that's missing, Tshuvas HaRitva quotes the Balei HaTosfos, only Sefer Torah Shechosar Yiriyah, is missing a whole Yiriyah, several columns. Chosar Esachas is not possible. And the Rani asks on the Rambam. The Rani also disagrees with the Rambam. And then the Ritva assumes like the Rambam, Chosar Esachas is no good. And then he writes, by Megillas Esther it's good. So he writes two ways. So he writes because Sefer Torah is different. Then he writes because Nikra Sefer and Nikra Sigeris. So to steer him in Ebay, he writes the two Svaras. Either Megillas Esther is the exception to the rule, all the other 23 Svarim in the Tanakh, Chosar Esachas Pasul, or Chosar Esachas only Chum and Sefer Torah, it's unclear. But that's a Shaila, a lot of times in the Yeshivas, but they lay the haftaras from a klaf, and a lot of times the klaf is rubbed out a little bit here and there. Do you gain anything by leaning from the klaf? Maybe Chosar Esachas is a psul in all the Sifri HaTanach. In Shulchan Aruch, they quote again Mishnah that if you have a Megillah that's written in another language, you can also be Yotzei the Mitzvah. What if the Megillah is written half in English and half in Spanish? So the Shulchan Aruch paskens that it's good. Ksuva b'shtei lashonos is good. This is really a machlokes. The Rambam and the Rav in the Hilchos Gerushin, the two Girsas and a Tosefta. The Rambam writes that a get that's written in two languages, half in one language, half in another language, is not acceptable. There's no hemshech from one language to the other. No hemshech. And the Rav says that it's a Girsa mutas and zdam nalo b'tosefta, that the correct reading should be that a get b'shtei lashonos is good. So by get we're machmer all the time because the get is by get we're machmer. We write the whole get in Hebrew, but then let's say the fellow has a name Jacques. How do you spell Jacques in Hebrew? Dalet zayin shin aleph kuf. It's always complicated. How do you transliterate French or English names? Louis. His name they all call him Louis. How do you write Louis in Hebrew? So why not write the whole get in Hebrew and write the names in English or in French? So no, we machma for the Rambam, a get b'shtei l'shanis is not acceptable. The Ramoy has takasha, every get is b'shtei l'shanis. Half the get is Hebrew, half the get is Aramaic. So every get is b'shtei l'shanis. So what do you mean by machma like the Rambam? So the Ramoy says, no, that's a third language. There's a Hebrew language, there's an Aramaic language, there's a language that's known as Rabbinic Hebrew. That's how Tosfos and the Rashba write, Rabbinic Hebrew, a blend of half Hebrew and half Aramaic. But if you're going to write a get in Hebrew letters, then you're going to stick in English letters in the middle. That for sure is not acceptable. Some Adam Gottel in America came to a Hungarian Rav who came to America after the war, came up with a chiddush that if you have a printed ksuba, the whole ksuba is written in block letters, and then you fill in script the name of the chasen kala, that would be like b'shtei l'shoinis. There's no hemshah from one language to the other, so there's no hemshah from one script to the other. So if you have a ksuba that's in block letters, you should fill in the names of the chasen kala also in block letters. Interesting. Not bad. It's not bad. The Yiddish shayla is, we're machmir for the Rambam and Hilchas Gittin, that a get v'shtei l'shayla is not acceptable. How come we make it over here? By the Ramah says a get, a Megillah Esther v'shtei l'shayla is acceptable. So we said that Megillah Esther is only the Rabbana. So others say, no, Megillah Esther is the Dibri Kabbalah Kedibri Torah Damya. That's what the Mishnah Berurah quotes, a Sufik from the Prima Gadim. Maybe if there's a Sufik, whether Sufik Kar Megillah, Sufik Lo Kara, you have the right to say Sufik the Rabbana Lekula. You have to be Machman to say that Sufik Dibri Kabbalah Lechumer. So that's Mishnah Berurah quotes that from the Prima Gadim is Mesupik about that.
Means it's in the other Lashon or it's transliterated? No, in a different language. Isn't it?
Yeah, part is written in English, part is written in Spanish. English and Spanish have the same alphabet, but it's a different language. And there is no language if, I don't know what Ladino is. I don't know what's Ladino. Ladino is a third language, like Yiddish is a third language, which is a combination of part German and part Hebrew. But the Ladino is a different language. But I don't know if you have a Megillah that's written half in English, half in Spanish. So the Ramah says that it's good. And others are not so convinced. Maybe you have to be Machmer. Maybe like the Prima Gadim that creates a Megillah, Sveka Luchumra. Maybe you have to treat it like a get. That's there, right? So that we would be Machmer like the Ramah. That a get b'shtei l'shaynus is not acceptable.
But say Vittorin Yavanus says that means it's transliterated, it's not written in Yavanus. Say Vittorin in Yavanus is Kasher Sevitar. Does that mean it's written in Yavanus or it's transliterated?
There's a discussion of that also in Hilchas Purim. That's also a big discussion. The Goyim Eretz started a minig. I think we spoke about it, Parsha Shkolim, to give Zechel and Machzah Shekel. The Goyim in Babel were upset about it. So because people are Makdish Machzah Shekel is Hekdash, he can't give it to Tzedakah, he can't give it to the Yeshivas. So the Goyim in Eretz Yisrael who instituted this minig, they said that there's no problem because the last Yerushalmi in Masech Shkolim says that we paskin like the Tana Reb Shimon. And the Mishnah and the Braisa that the Mishnah Reb Shimon only says Mafrish Bikurim is Banazet is not Chal. But the Braisa adds on that Reb Shimon holds even a Mafrish Machzah Shekel is Banazet is not Chal. Even if you try, it's not Chal. So there's no Chashash Mikshal. But the Ramah and Shulchan Aruch quotes from the Maharil that it's we're not so convinced that we really paskin like that Yerushalmi. So whoever gives Machzah Shekel should make sure that he's giving, has a mind Zecher Machzah Shekel. On the plate that you have in big letters, Zecher. No one should think that it's really Machzah Shekel. So the minig is, the Ramah said, the minig is that you give a dollar and a half. Why? You give three Machzah Shekels because the Truma appears three times. Why do you give three half dollars? Why don't you figure out how much is a Machzah Shekel? So that's based on the Rambam. The Rambam explains why did they give in Hilchos Kolim. And when they built the second Beis HaMikdash, they gave Darkon Shel Zov. They gave gigantic golden coins. Why do they give Darkon Shel Zov? So the Ravid gives a beautiful, plausible explanation. He says most of the Jews remain behind in Buffalo. He couldn't rely on them that they're going to send in Machzah Shekel money. And the only ones that were giving were those who were in Eretz Yisrael. So it's going to cost a fortune to cover all the Karbonas Tzibur. Each person had to pay 100 times more than they would normally pay. You can never give less than Machzah Shekel, but you have to calculate how much do you think the Karbonas Tzibur will cost in the course of the year. Are they going to be 12 months or 13 months? How much are the animals going to sell for? The price of animals may go up. How many people can you rely on to give the money on time? You have to have money to buy Rosh Chodesh Nissan. You have to have money to buy the new Karbonas Tzibur, the new Machzah Shekel money. So the Rabbit writes, that's why they had to give Darkon Shel Zov, because they couldn't rely on anybody from Bavel. And the Rambam gives a different explanation. You have to give a minimum of Machzah Shekel, but you have to give if the Machzah of the Matbeh HaYotzeh Es Medina is more than a Machzah Shekel, then you got to give that. So a dollar in America is the Matbeh HaYotzeh Bo Es Medina. So you give a half of a dollar, that's called Machzah Shekel. The Chachma Sodom says that in Europe they used to give 5 rubles for Pidyon Aben. That's based on the Rambam. He says the 5 rubles was way more than Pidyon Aben was should have been. But according to the Rambam, that you have to give machta shek on machta sata mabe hayotze v'es medina, so the same is true regarding pidyon ben. You have to give 5 rubles. Even though the 5 rubles is more than what it would have been equivalent of five shkol. So that's where the minute comes from, that the people give a dollar and a half, they give 3 machzah shekel. Okay, I mean, it's a lot more to discuss, but it's time to daven mincha. Good. I might invite everybody over tonight, whoever has, if you have a bite. So come, we'll have a shtikla chagiga. I don't know if I'll be able to come to the chagiga. My ear is hurt terribly, I can't. The chagiga usually is very noisy. I think I'll really go deaf if I come. So those who come to me will have to sing softly.
Really, singing on Purim is a similar din as